Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You'll find podcast of the show at my webpage, BillMick.com. This weekend's show was scheduled to be a wrap-up of the Florida legislative session. Was to be. It was supposed to have concluded May the 2nd. It didn't. The legislature was unable to do the one job it's mandated to accomplish in each session, craft a budget. The House and Senate are reportedly far apart on that front, as well as several other areas, and the governor has yet another vision for what the budget should be. They've extended the session to the end of June, which is the very last day before a new budget takes effect. What's that all mean? Joining us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable, political scientist Chris Miros. He'll break it all down for us as we continue on the Florida News Network.
Steel deals are happening now. From instant savings on select tools to free battery offers on some of our most popular battery tool sets, you can enjoy great deals and do it all with Steel. Shop online or in store at your local Steel dealer. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Up to 44% of veterans say re-entry into civilian life was difficult, 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL-VET or visit myflvet.com.
Motorcyclists, bicyclists, pedestrians, and commercial vehicles all have the right to be on the road and travel safely. Motorists, watch out for bicyclists and pedestrians, allowing 3 feet of clearance. And be on the lookout for motorcycles. Never attempt to share a lane with one. Drive cautiously around commercial vehicles. Don't cut in front and stay out of their blind spots. When we're on the road together, safety is a shared responsibility. Let's all make it home safely. Message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Wildfire season is active in your region, and the Florida Forest Service would like to remind you there are many tools that can help reduce the chances of a catastrophic wildfire. That includes creating a defensible space around your home, safely burning yard waste, following Florida's outdoor burning laws, and reporting a potential wildfire or suspicious arson activity. Humans are the leading cause of wildfires in Florida, so visit BeWildfireReadyFL.com for more information on Florida's outdoor burning laws and how to protect your home from wildfire.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick, and our guest this week, as I told you, is Chris Miro, political scientist, and we've got a lot to dig through. Chris had asked me as he walked in, you didn't send me an agenda. No, I didn't, and the reason is we've got more than we're ever going to get to. Chris, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming in the studio this week.
Bill, it's always an honor to be with you and your listeners, and like you said, what's going on in Tallahassee, we're never going to get to all of it. It is a fascinating political theater.
First and foremost, there's only one job required of a Florida legislature. That is to craft a budget every year, pass it, and send it to the governor, who, by the way, has line item veto authority in that budget. And they weren't able to get it done during the regular session. They've now extended that session to the end of June. If it goes the full period, that's the day before the new budget takes effect.
That's right. That's right. We were thinking early June. Now Speaker Perez is estimating that this could go to June 30th, the last day of the fiscal year.
Which means they have to have it done 72 hours before then in
Absolutely
order for it to
right.
pass
That's right.
and send it to the governor.
Right, to avoid that that embarrassing shutdown.
Have we ever seen a shutdown in Florida over a budget issue?
Not in living memory.
Yeah, I've never seen one in my time here.
Yeah, it's especially when you consider that there's 87 out of the 120 House members are Republican, 27 out of the 40 senators, soon to be 28, are Republican. We have the governor's mansion. This is inexplicable. You know, the idea that all the levers of power in a big way are controlled by the same party. They should have the same goals, the same agenda. And what we're seeing here is just complete confusion. The House, the Senate, and the governor's mansion, they're all coming up with different ideas, different priorities. It's almost as if nobody had a discussion about these priorities before the beginning of the session.
Well, they had a plan, and Representative Monique Miller has been on my Space Coast morning show, and we were talking about this. The Speaker had a plan. They kind of stuck with that. The House bought in. Ben Albritton over in the Senate, the President of the Senate, has his idea. They're different from the Speaker of the Houses. The two bodies have to come together, and the governor has yet another idea on what budgeting should be. So this has been a very contentious legislative session.
Yeah.
It started with...
That's right, with that special session.
Two of them.
Unbelievable.
One that the legislature shut down, and another that said, here's what we're doing, Governor.
Right.
Here's what we've got. They came together. They finally got the immigration stuff settled in that second special session. And then not too long after that, the regular session begins. And it seemed jumbled and contentious from the beginning. Did you read it the same way?
Absolutely, yeah. There was, a lot of that... talk about, we've mended the fences. We're coming together now. We're going to, as a team. That didn't happen.
I didn't buy the kumbaya then either.
That's right. That's right. The handhold and the kumbaya didn't play out.
Way too much dissension in the press. And instead of taking this to each other, these leaders took it to the media and had this very ugly public battle. One of the things Representative Miller told us was that when you've got those super majorities that you just very adequately described here, you have nobody to fight with but yourselves.
That's true. That's right. Well, there's the Democrat Party in Florida, as Jason Pizzo, the former minority leader, has said, it's dead. And well, what it means is that this is a one-party system. There is no competition. So when you've got that kind of those levers of power in such a convincing way, and there is no competition from the outside, I guess this is what we're going to see. This is the product that we get.
You think they get a budget by the time June 30th rolls around, based on what you're seeing now?
I think they're going to come together and figure this out before the deadline, but I don't think it's going to be pretty, and I'm kind of disappointed because that was the theme when we met the first week of the session, Bill, was disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to see meaningful tax reduction. I don't think we're going to see meaningful conservative ideas
being
promoted.
Well, they're all saying they want reduction, though, and they just have different visions of what it should be. How in the world do they not come up with some kind of reduction that they can agree on?
Yes, well, the specifics of this, I think the Speaker is wrong on his push to focus on the sales tax.
Uh-huh.
I think the focus should be much more on reducing property taxes rather than focusing on the sales tax bill.
And we'll dig into it with Chris Muro this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you with us on the Florida News Network.
Fresh Florida tomatoes. These ripe red rubies are the jewels of the produce section, making every dish a real gem. Sliced or diced, pureed or sautéed, they are the soul of soups and salads, the toppings of pizzas and pastas. They put the T in BLT, literally. Is there nothing the Florida tomato can't do? Florida tomatoes, the Swiss Army knife of vegetables. Even if they are a fruit, technically. To see what Florida tomatoes can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com.
Wildfire season is active in your region, and the Florida Forest Service would like to remind you there are many tools that can help reduce the chances of a catastrophic wildfire. That includes creating a defensible space around your home, safely burning yard waste, following Florida's outdoor burning laws, and reporting a potential wildfire or suspicious arson activity. Humans are the leading cause of wildfires in Florida. So visit BeWildfireReadyFL.com for more information on Florida's outdoor burning laws and how to protect your home from wildfire.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Ho-ho, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
It was supposed to be a legislative session wrap-up. Instead, this week, we talk with political scientist Chris Muro about a, I guess we'll call it a midpoint of the legislative session because they couldn't get a budget done. The House and the Senate come up with their versions. The governor has his own vision. Chris, you were starting to tell us about the House's version of the budget and their focus. Let's talk about those for a minute and the differences between them. What's the House wanting to bring to the table here?
Well, they want to reduce the state sales tax from 6% to 5.25%. And the big focus in the House version has been, again, on reducing sales taxes as a way to provide relief to Florida citizens. The other issues are in the Senate side, you've got tax holidays, which there's none of the tax holidays are in the House version of the budget. And the House version of the budget's calling for about a $5.6 billion reduction from last year's budget bill, which is, in my view, the only good news coming out of the session so far is that the overall aggregate budget is going to be less than last year's. So there's the bright spot here. But how we get there is going to be a big deal because the Senate side is much less of a reduction than the House side. So there are just major huge chasm here between the House and the Senate side on the budget.
It would seem to me the House version may benefit more Floridians and tourists because it's a sales tax reduction, yet the Senate version, because it focuses on property taxes, going to benefit homeowners, but who else? And how do they come together and say, we've got to mesh something here. Do you have any vision for that?
Well, I think they're going to do a smaller sales tax reduction. It's not going to go from 6 to 5.25. So I think you'll see a much smaller reduction. So that'll be just to placate, I think, Speaker
Perez. To get the
Perez.
House to play along.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, because there was bad blood there when the Senate, according to Speaker Perez, the Senate, you know, reneged on their promise to bring the House version of the budget to the Senate floor for a vote. And so that caused some more contention between the House and the Senate. And so I think in order to get this thing across the finish line, they're going to have to come up with a compromise. So I see a smaller sales tax reduction. I see some of the sales tax holidays being enacted and put into the House version. The big question then is going to become on the spending reduction. Is the Senate going to agree to reduce the overall budget by up to $4 billion? I think that's going to be a big sticking point because I don't think a lot of senators want to see that.
That's one thing Speaker Perez said that I have to agree with, is that these Republican legislatures of the last several years have become addicted to spending.
Absolutely.
And they had the COVID money coming in. They had other federal dollars rolling in. And those are starting to dry up in Donald Trump's second term as president, as many of us wish they would, that we are spending way too much in federal dollars in way too many ways. California is a great example and all the federal dollars that they suck up. We want to see us get away from that. But it does change the math for legislators trying to put a budget together.
Absolutely. You know, that's the one good thing, as you said, about the House version is they're seeing that the projection here for the next few years is we're not going to be seeing the surplus of revenue and that it's time to start focusing on, hey, we might need to start scaling back some of the programs that we've enacted over the past few years, and we have to start focusing on reducing spending overall. So I think there's the will in the House to do that. I don't think there's as much will in the Senate to do that, but they're going to have to come together. I do think the good news is we are going to see a couple of billion dollars less in our aggregate budget than we have over the past couple of cycles.
I guess most of us would call that a good start. Probably
That's a good start.
Not enough.
It's a good start. But as far as the sales tax thing goes, Bill, I'm going to have to agree with, you know, Governor DeSantis on this, and that is the sales tax is a far superior method of taxation. And so reducing that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And the reason that, Bill, is because there's an incentive in the sales tax to keep it low. Because what happens when you raise, the government raises the sales tax too high, what happens? people spend less.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what does the government need if sales tax is going to be its main source of revenue? It needs consumption.
Right.
And consumption is good for everybody.
Well, and in a tourism-oriented state, you're getting supplemented by people who don't live here, who don't, they're here for a week or two at a time, maybe, right. Or you get snowbirds, of course, but it's not a burden on all of the people who live here all the time.
Right. And, you know, that's one thing I don't like about the DeSantis, the way he's selling it, we want to tax Brazilians and Canadians and Florida first and that kind of thing. I don't think that's the right way to sell this. I think the way to sell it is that the sales tax empowers the consumer to decide their tax rate. You want to pay more taxes, you buy more stuff. You don't want to pay more taxes, you don't buy, you don't consume. And again, there's that incentive structure that's built into this bill that keeps the sales tax rate low already because government needs that consumption function to happen. So the idea here is that property owners should be at the forefront of the relief effort here.
Another thing that the governor has proposed is the idea of $1,000 checks from the state treasury going back to the citizens in Florida as kind of a rebate, if you will, for their property taxes. You get a $1,000 check from the state, a lot of people are just going to go spend it. There goes the tax revenue back in one fashion or another.
That's right. That's right.
And I don't think it's fair to consider that a tax cut. And I'm not sure that the government in the state ought to get in the habit of sending checks to everybody just because, hey, we've got a little bit of money up here in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of getting a check from the government. That's never a good idea. I think they need to start looking at some kind of a bold proposal here because there's one amendment that did make it through, Bill. That's a ad valorem, a constitutional amendment that's coming out of this session. But it's just to give agricultural land, that land that's been designated as ag land, tax exemption. So that's not really going to have it's a good idea, but is it going to have a dramatic impact across the state for homeowners and businesses?
And how many big landowners does that benefit and not the average Floridian?
Right, right. So, it's not a bad idea, but it certainly isn't the kind of relief that we're looking for. There needs to be a much bolder vision here, Bill, and that is if you don't have a mortgage, you've paid off your mortgage, no more property taxes. Once you own the property outright, it should be outright, not the government also. You're going to have to pay for the privilege of living there for the rest of your life.
See that getting any traction at all in a legislature that's as divided as this one?
Well, maybe not this year, Bill, but hopefully before 2026, when these amendments are going to be on the ballot, that they're going to come together and realize. I'm not putting a lot of faith in the study group, Bill. I mean, that's basically where we're at with the legislature. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a study group to figure this out. Right. I mean, it seems to me to be pretty simple.
What's it take for the governor to sign a budget this time out?
I think that there's going to be a lot of pressure when we come up to June 30th for the governor is going to pretty much, I think he's going to be in a position where he's going to have to accept what the product is. But like you mentioned, he's got that line item veto. Mm-hmm. So there are things that he can go in and veto specific line items. But I think the overall tax approach, I think DeSantis is going to be subject to the will of the legislature this time around. And that's because he's been severely weakened, Bill.
I agree. And with that line item veto and the contentious nature since the beginning of the year, actually before that and when the special sessions were called, I think you see a governor with a veto pen going after specific member projects that will be axed out of that budget because of the contention that's happening.
Oh, I think you're absolutely correct on that. That he's going to use that veto pen to go after some of those folks who were not cooperative in his view. So I do see a lot of that. I think it's going to be harder to override some of those things, that maybe not in the House side, but I think on the Senate side, you're going to need 27 votes on the Senate side. I think that's going to be more difficult to do. Mm-hmm. So I think his veto will line item vetoes will be successful than not, Bill, because of that variable. But, the governor is, his first 6 years, his first 5 years were incredible. He was in charge. He was the strong. He has been the strongest governor in Florida's history.
I've coined it that he owned the legislature, and they did his bidding for 6 years.
Just think about this: the redistricting process, where he took that from the legislature and just decided that he was going to create the map. And the legislature acquiesced.
They did.
And by the way, Bill, you know, we have in the current House of Representatives, there's a three-seat majority. If the Republicans lost three seats, they would lose control. Right? We have 220 Republicans in the U.S. House.
Right.
If they lost three seats, they'd be at 217, which would not be a majority.
Right.
Why do we have that those three extra seats, Bill? Because we used to have 11 Democrats from Florida. We now have 8 because of DeSantis's redistricting plan.
So politically smart.
Oh, just think. I mean, just the things that he's accomplished as governor have just been incredible.
What do you think led to the decline in that? I think he's hurt himself, in all honesty. In the first quarter of this year, his reputation went from strong leader to someone who bickers with his own party in trying to get things accomplished. And that was anti-DeSantis, if you'd ask me.
Well, you know, listen, it's he went from the apex, the summit, to the low point, the nadir. And how did that happen? What was the fatal flaw? Well, when he challenged Donald Trump for the Republican nomination for president. Mm-hmm. And when he lost, it was an ignominious defeat, Bill. And that's what took the wind out of his sails, and that empowered the legislators to seek a new executive du jour. Who's going to be the most popular executive? Well, we're going to jump ship from DeSantis to Trump. And see, that's one of the problems, Bill, that I've seen over the past couple of decades is a lot of our legislators, that's what they do. I'm going to carry water for Jeb Bush.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to carry whoever the executive who's the most popular at this moment in time. That's whose water I'm going to carry. Not looking at the legislature as the most important element in our system of government, Bill.
Right.
Did you know, Bill, that in the U.S. Constitution, the state legislatures are mentioned 13 times throughout the Constitution,
Bill? I did not know that. No.
Yeah. Yeah, what an important institution. But today's legislators use it as a means to another end, Bill. They're not statesmen. They're not looking at the legislature as, hey, this is the place to be.
An argument you and I will have off air, they're not statesmen because they don't have time to develop into them because of term limits. But that's another show, and we're back with Chris Mero in moments on the Florida Roundtable.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-410-6385. 800-410-6385. 800-410-6385. That's 800-410-6385.
Motorcyclists, bicyclists, pedestrians, and commercial vehicles all have the right to be on the road and travel safely. Motorists, watch out for bicyclists and pedestrians, allowing 3 feet of clearance. And be on the lookout for motorcycles. Never attempt to share a lane with one. Drive cautiously around commercial vehicles. Don't cut in front and stay out of their blind spots. When we're on the road together, safety is a shared responsibility. Let's all make it home safely. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Continuing an agenda-free Florida Roundtable with our buddy political scientist Chris Muro, because there's so much stuff to cover, there really is. Let's wrap it up real quickly on the budget, Chris. The House has a version, the Senate has other ideas, and the governor yet more. Where does it land before, on or before June 30th?
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done and the dust settles, Bill, I think we're going to be, it's kind of the term that I'm using to describe this whole year in Tallahassee, and that is disappointing. Are we going to see dramatic tax reduction? I don't think so. I think we're going to see,
So in the end, the people lose out in some respect.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think we're going to see a small reduction in the sales tax, which, again, I think is the wrong focus. I don't think we're going to see anything meaningful as far as property tax reduction. And then hopefully they're going to be able to regroup and come back in 2026 and think about giving us something substantial, Bill. Really, the bright side of this is that a lot of the bad ideas, and there were many introduced in this legislative session, expanding citizens' insurance, and a whole host of other ideas that seem to benefit trial lawyers, increasing litigation.
It's been described as it's not Republican versus Democrat in Tallahassee. Representative Miller said this on my show last week, that it is trial lawyers versus insurance companies. That's the battle in Tallahassee when it comes to that.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of proposals to empower more lawsuits. And so thankfully, many of those proposals have been defeated, Bill. So that's the good news. The good news here is that bicameralism is our friend, as it usually is, is that, a bad idea has been passed in one chamber, but died in the other. And so we're thankful for the wisdom of bicameralism.
As we look at all of this, back to the budget, just very briefly, this battle was so public and so contentious, the Republican Party of Florida offers itself up to hold a summit with the governor, the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, and I'm thinking the last thing you want is party hacks who are trying to advance themselves into the political ranks of some sort to be part of this discussion when we've elected people to do this job.
Yeah, I think that's a sign of weakness and desperation, Bill. That's not the direction I think that we should be headed. And again,
and the governor put it down really quickly.
Yeah, which is good. But just the idea of having such overwhelming control of all the levers of power in the state, and then having this kind of just seemingly ineptitude reigning the day needs to end.
Yeah, and we'll see if it does. Let's move on to some of the other things that have been done in this legislative session. One of the things that was of concern was the fees that have been attached to condo owners, and in the wake of a condo collapsing in South Florida a few years ago, they want more inspections, they want these things to be safe, and everybody wants that to happen. But it had the end result, the law they passed, what, a year or so ago,
right,
of running people out of their homes because the homeowners association fees, the insurance for those condos just skyrocketed, and now they worked at moderating that.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a lot of concern there for, especially folks that live along our coastal communities and condominiums, and there was a lot of people moving out of those, and so there was the beginning of a crisis. Is this going to avert that, Bill, and reverse that trend? I'm not sure, Bill. At this point, I'm not sure. I mean, there was another law they passed last year to bring more oversight to homeowners associations in general, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And all they've done is require anybody serving on an HOA board to sit through a 4-hour Zoom meeting, Bill. And that's it. That's it. You sit through a 4-hour Zoom meeting, and you're now certified in the state of Florida. And has it actually...
So that's another regulation in the free state of Florida.
Exactly. It's another regulation that all it does is give law firms extra money, because that's who is administering these 4-hour Zoom sessions, Bill, is just law firms. And so that they're just getting paid for every person that signs up. They get paid a subsidy from the state to administer this 4-hour Zoom meeting. Is it going to enhance the knowledge and the security of people who are living in a homeowners association? Absolutely not. No. There's no efficacy in these laws, Bill. But they say, hey, look what we did. We got this passed. We got something done.
Goes back to being able to tout to the electorate why I should stay in office or move to the next one I'm seeking.
Exactly.
You know, I had Representative Monique Miller and Representative Hillary Cassell out of South Florida on. Cassell, herself a lawyer who has worked both for insurance companies, then as a plaintiff's attorney against insurance companies, she knows this issue inside and out. And they had a very informative Florida roundtable appearance here. Yet the legislature did not seem to take up any meaningful insurance reform in this session.
Yeah, I mean, like we had said when we met back at the first week, Bill, that it was shocking to me that there were many proposals to expand the state of Florida's citizens insurance program, kind of undo some of the reforms that were just enacted to try to, you know, bring more private insurers back into Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many proposals to undo that what they had done just a year ago. So thankfully, though, Bill, that even though some of them passed in one chamber, they didn't get a hearing in the other chamber, and so they're dead for this session, thankfully. But that was the approach that I was seeing, was big government.
Does anybody have the magic bullet answer to insurance in this state? Because right now it doesn't seem like anybody does.
No, I don't think that there is. But the principle should be, how do we bring in more private insurers, not fewer? We need to have more competition, because that's always what brings prices down for consumers, mm-hmm. and options and services up for consumers is when you have competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a government-run program that is going to crowd out private insurers is not helpful. Having a situation where there is the ability to have frivolous lawsuits, that's not going to help either. And that has to be balanced, though, of course, with people who
actual
are bad actors.
When it occurs,
well, absolutely. When they're bad actors, mm-hmm. that there needs to be torts in place so that they can be held financially accountable. So that's a delicate balancing act. That's not always easy, Bill.
One of the things that was proposed, and you've mentioned this kind of already, is that Citizens becoming the catastrophic insurer, which could draw the big insurance companies back into the state if they knew they didn't have to deal with hurricane damage. Is that viable in any way that you're seeing, that, okay, we know we're going to deal with hurricanes every year, how devastating they are varies from year to year, but that's going to be in pockets of the state. That's not going to be the entire state at all. Right. So does that put an easier time on most Floridians? And then you buy the catastrophic insurance you think you need from Citizens, and the state bears the cost if insurance companies can't carry it anyway. So how much different does that become?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, those are some of the innovative ideas that that need to be debated, Bill. What we're seeing right now is, let's just expand the current government system because the free market is failing. That's actually in the preamble of the bill that was working its way through the House. The Republicans were saying the free market
has
failed.
Doesn't sound like a Republican point of view,
does it?
It does
not sound like a Republican point of view. Does not sound like a conservative point of view to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've said this before, Bill, that we have we have all kinds of crises out there. Mental health crises, climate crises, right? I've got one, and that's the crisis of conservatism in our Florida legislature.
Well, and to that end, Second Amendment issues are always hot in Tallahassee. They are always fought. Generally, they win in the House. They get passed to the Senate, where Second Amendment legislation goes to die.
Yeah.
Both supposedly Republican bodies, both supposedly conservative. I would have to label the House as far more conservative than the Senate has ever been. And under its current and previous leadership, I'm not so sure its current leadership is not still under the previous leadership. Right. Those things go there and disappear. They won't hear them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the House typically is a more conservative body, Bill, because mm-hmm. they're from more smaller districts that are, you know, more geographically compact and mm-hmm. And some of those Senate districts, you know, are multi-county. So that's why you do have more moderates in the Senate, if you want to call them that. But, yeah, you're right, Bill. It's been the reduction of the age of from 21 to 18 has passed 3 years in a row in the House, and it's failed 3 years in a row in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Sales tax holiday for the, you know, summer of the Second Amendment summer that the governor was proposing went nowhere. And so there was absolutely no meaningful gun legislation this session, but that's, you know, something we had predicted as well at the beginning of this session, Bill. That
speaking of that, we did talk as the session began.
Yeah.
How did we do as we looked ahead? Did we do okay?
We got an A+, Bill.
Okay, that's good to hear.
We nailed it.
We continue this legislative session, not over yet. We'll bring Chris back when that's all said and done, but we've got more ground to cover as we continue this weekend on the Florida Roundtable.
Well, my buddy and I left early that morning, no different than any other time we've been fishing together. Loaded our gear and headed out to our favorite spot. Sky was getting dark, but we were just catching so many fish. You know, we had life jackets on board, but we could swim, so we never wore them. Then the wind and the waves picked up. We started taking on water. Engine quit. In a split second, we were in the water. I lost my best friend that day. It's National Safe Boating Week. Good time to start wearing your life jacket every second you're on the water. Visit myfwc.com.
Summer starts early here in Florida, which means we get more beach time, more sunshine, and more time to enjoy refreshing, sweet, and juicy fresh from Florida watermelon. The best part of summer is already here. Find locally grown Florida watermelon where you shop. Just look for the Sunny Fresh from Florida logo or ask for it by name. Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
Great deals are now blooming at Quality Green Specialists. Featuring a wide variety of fancy trees, ornamentals, herbs, and flowers, including over 50 varieties of fruit and plants, with sustainable organic nursery products and top quality soil testing. Experience a world of beauty at Quality Green. Open 9 to 4 daily at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Online at qualitygreenspecialist.com. Quality Green Specialists. Top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
Up to 44% of veterans say re-entry into civilian life was difficult. 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL-VET or visit myflvet.com.
Continuing with political scientist Chris Muro on the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Nice to have you along this weekend on the Florida News Network. We've talked about the contention, the budget issues, and the battle in the various houses of the legislature. Chris, there is one thing that passed, and it's something that I know you and I have both been in favor of, is making it tougher to change Florida's constitution. And they did get a bill passed that makes that more difficult, maybe taking a little bit of the power away from the special interests that come in from out of state, throw a lot of money at things like 4-year-old pre-K, medical marijuana, $15 an hour minimum wage, abortion issues and the like. Right. And those pro sides of those have a lot of out-of-state money that come in. They come in and work the state to get them on the ballot. There are some changes afoot and some lawsuits about it already. But let's talk about those changes for a minute.
Yeah, well, House Bill 1205, it passed the House, it passed the Senate. It was signed immediately by Governor DeSantis, and so it's already in effect. And basically what this is going to do is anybody who is going to collect, be a paid collector of signatures, they have to go through a four-hour training session, Bill.
On Zoom again?
On Zoom.
Okay.
So they like that there in the legislature.
They also have to be residents of the state.
They do. They have to be residents or citizens of the state of Florida. When they collect a petition, the person who's signing has to provide the driver's license number or the last four digits of their Social Security number.
It's kind of like verifying mail ballots and the like.
That's right.
Okay.
Somebody can also retract after the fact if they decide later on that they want to retract their signature. They may have signed it and then later on said, oh, I don't want this to be on the ballot. They can actually retract that. And then I think the biggest thing, Bill, is the $1 million bond that they have to pay to the Division of Elections. So if you want to put an initiative on the ballot, once you get 25% of the signatures, you have to submit a $1 million surety bond to the Division of Elections.
The purpose of the bond being?
Well, I think the idea there is to create a financial, a financial kind of a roadblock for organizations to put on the ballot. I just looking at it, I think $1 million is just too low, Bill.
Well, considering that the folks at Trulieve, the major medical marijuana company in the state, have already jumped in on a lawsuit to stop these changes from going on. That suit's already been filed. Just read a headline this week that they've jumped in. Now, they spent $140 million to try to pass this just a year ago.
That's right. So $1 million surety bond in that context doesn't seem to be a lot.
You light your cigars with that money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the other thing is that if you look at the Florida Constitution that describes the citizen initiative process, I think the legal argument is going to be, can they, by general law, pass these additional restrictions on something that is a constitutional privilege, if you will, and that is to collect petitions to alter.
Do you have a call on how that goes down? Depends on which judge it hits, doesn't it?
At this time, I'm not going to make the call on that at this time, Bill. But I do think it's a persuasive argument. But you got to remember that one of the great accomplishments of Ron DeSantis as governor has been to remake the Florida judiciary in his image. And so the Florida judiciary used to be one of the most liberal.
Is this an issue then that stays in Florida as far as the courts go, not something that'll go to a U.S. appellate court or anything like that?
I believe so. I mean, there's always the unfortunate realist view that it's going to wind up in a federal court somewhere. But I kind of think the Florida Supreme Court's going to have the last word on it.
Okay, that's interesting.
That's what I see.
It is,
but again, Ron DeSantis has a big influence on the Florida Supreme Court. It's definitely one of the most conservative, if not the most conservative, Supreme Court, state Supreme Court in the country.
I would like to see constitutional amendments here in the state be restricted to form and function of government issues, not direct lawmaking by Democratic vote of the electorate. That's it circumvents our representative form of government when you take a law that may be popular but might not be wise to the people.
Yeah.
If it is that wise, if it is that popular, representation of the people through their legislative bodies would make that change. And to me, it changes our system of government.
Oh, absolutely. And I agree, Bill. We have to get back to the principle of representative government and not this idea of this direct democracy, throw it up against the wall, hope it sticks, uninformed masses, lots of influence from outside money, as you're saying. But the real, if they really were serious, if the legislature was serious, Bill, they would amend that section of the Constitution of the state of Florida to up the requirement from 8% to 15% of those who voted in the previous presidential election, basically doubling.
I'd like to see that in play. We continue with Chris Mero to wrap it up in moments on the Florida News Network.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-648-9174. 800-648-9174. That's 800-648-9174.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
I'm fine, Bob. I just wish I were ready for mosquito season.
Well, that's why I bought Summit Mosquito Dunks.
Summit Mosquito Dunks?
Yep, they kill the mosquito larvae before they're old enough to bite.
How about that? Well, I guess I'm off to the store.
Help protect yourself and your family from diseases caused by mosquitoes with Summit Mosquito Dunks. Available at garden centers, hardware stores, and online at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Well, my buddy and I left early that morning, no different than any other time we've been fishing together. Loaded our gear and headed out to our favorite spot. Sky was getting dark, but we were just catching so many fish. Yeah, now, we had life jackets on board, but we could swim, so we never wore them. Then the wind and the waves picked up. We started taking on water. Engine quit. In a split second, we were in the water. I lost my best friend that day. It's National Safe Boating Week. Good time to start wearing your life jacket every second you're on the water. Visit myfwc.com.
Summer starts early here in Florida, which means we get more beach time, more sunshine, and more time to enjoy refreshing, sweet, and juicy fresh from Florida watermelon. The best part of summer is already here. Find locally grown Florida watermelon where you shop. Just look for the sunny Fresh from Florida logo or ask for it by name. Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
Shortness of breath. Patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrule.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
And we're back to wrap it up with political scientist Chris Mero. Chris, let's move beyond the legislature and the like for just a minute or two. We got a governor's race that's going to be in front of us in less than a year.
Yeah. So
what are you seeing there?
Well, I see Governor Byron Donalds will be the next governor of the state of Florida.
Oh, we're not even going to get into the nominees from any
other. We're not even
else.
Get right because yeah. You know the fact of the matter is, you know, we're hearing some names out there. We're hearing Wilton Simpson. You know, right. He wants to be governor. He's not going to be governor. Casey DeSantis.
I don't get that one at all.
He's going nowhere.
Wonderful
she's going
first
nowhere.
Lady. Wonderful,
wonderful
lady.
Wonderful person.
Absolutely.
Great mother. Great. Champion,
nothing in her
great,
experience to tell me
no,
governor material.
No, and you know, and Governor DeSantis again. This is the you know, listen, he had what an incredible two terms that he had. You know, he started off by challenging Amendment 4, which, by the way, in 2018 was giving felons the right to vote. Well, he put up a roadblock to that, which smartly said, we're not just going to hand out. You got to prove that you're going to be free from the criminal justice system. You have to prove that you can hold a job. You have to pay restitution once right. you're, you know. So he led on that. When COVID hit, you know, he was a champion of, you know, against masking, against
by forced. Less than half a point, we were a different state in COVID times.
Exactly, exactly.
That's true.
The special session to provide protections for those who did not want to get the COVID jab. Right. The free state of Florida legislation, the redistricting, remaking the judiciary. Florida is in its strongest fiscal state it's ever been in. It's just been an incredible two terms. But again, that fatal flaw of running against Trump for the Republican nomination right. that has right. undermined everything that he's tried.
So are there any viable Democrats as far as that goes? I mean, you mentioned Senator Pizzo, who has left the Democratic Party and will run as a no-party affiliated candidate. Are there any Democrats prominently out there to run for governor?
Well, there's David Jolly, a former Republican congressman turned, well, this is going to be his new shtick, and that is he's going to be the Democrat nominee in 2026.
Boy, that won't play well with the majority of Florida voters.
It's the Charlie Crist 2.0.
Didn't learn a lesson from that one,
He didn't. Yeah. So, and as Pizzo, we thought he was going to be the guy, but he decided to leave the party. Now he's going to run as an independent. Mm-hmm. John Morgan, he's out there playing around as well.
Talking about creating his own party.
Creating his own party. I've even heard Francis Suarez, Bill, the former mayor of Miami, who, well, he's current, but he's on his way out, who ran for president in 2020, by the way, the shortest presidential campaign in modern history, where he was asked about the Uyghur minority in China, the Muslim minority in China is being persecuted. He had no idea who the Uyghurs were.
Yeah, and that's not good for a presidential
And, of course,
candidate.
He blamed the interviewer for it. And now he's talking about running for governor in 2026. Sorry, Mr. Suarez, somebody needs to tell you it's over. It's time to retire, sir.
Let's take another jump real quickly. You mentioned this to me off air. Marco Rubio, stripes may have changed, but his reputation has strengthened.
Marco Rubio is on the rise, Bill. Mm-hmm. He is playing everything right. He's playing all his cards right. He is, and I believe he's becoming a true believer in the America First principles. No more endless global conflicts and wars. No more nation building.
Well, he's become a good soldier for Donald Trump and a great Secretary of State early here in that term.
Early in the term. I think that he is somebody to keep an eye on for the future, Bill. I think the future is from Florida. Keep an eye on Marco Rubio.
Very good. Chris Muro, we'll get you back here. I appreciate your time. It's good to see
you,
my
friend.
It's a
pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
And we'll see you next weekend right here on the Florida Roundtable.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick on News and Public Affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.